From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio, celebrating the music and artists of this Kentucky region. Tonight on Red Barn Radio, it's the Michelle Canning Band.
Two sides stood divided, battle lines were drawn. One army was outnumbered. Seemed all hope was gone. Goliath was a bully with armor and a sword. David had five stones and faith in the Lord. The odds were against him. David would not be denied. He took his best shot and watched that giant die. When your back's against the wall, facing trouble 10 feet tall, face temptation, feel pressure to belong. Satan is the bully, itching for a fight, but we have a secret weapon on our side. When your back's against the wall, facing trouble 10 feet tall, you can run or you can fight. Take a stand for what is right, armed with faith.
Red Barn Radio's official radio partner is WEKU, public radio for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.fm. Red Barn Radio is supported by Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. More information on what Lexington has to offer is at visitlex.com. Lex Arts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Chef Greg Scott and Broussard's Delta Kitchen, featuring authentic flavors of New Orleans and the Mississippi Delta with live music every weekend. On Main Street in historic Georgetown, Kentucky, Broussard's is on Facebook. Listen locally, working in concert with people to embrace opportunities, listen locally and engage in shared experiences, including music, theater, poetry, dialogue, and conversation. More information on Facebook, Instagram, and listenlocally.net. Griffin Gate Resort and Spa, a luxury spa located in the Marriott in Lexington, Kentucky. And AccuPrint, providing printing, design, and fulfillment. Online at AccuPrint.us.
Good evening, I'm Brad Becker here to welcome you to Red Barn Radio, now in its 18th broadcast season. In fact, tonight is Red Barn Radio's 681st live concert performance. Something there. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents the Michelle Canning Band. Michelle is originally from North Andover, Massachusetts, and she currently resides in Nashville, Tennessee. Michelle is known as one of the most energetic performers of bluegrass and country music, and is a first-rate banjo player and vocalist, as you will find out. Please welcome the Michelle Canning Band to the Red Barn stage.
Hi,
tell me how you feel. It's a two-way street, so tell me if your love is real.
Red Barn Radio's host, Brad Becker, speaking with the Michelle Canning Band. Here's Brad.
Hi, folks. I'm Brad Becker, and we are here on Red Barn Radio tonight with the Michelle Canning Band. And it's Michelle Canning, obviously, playing the banjo there. Elizabeth Bowman is here playing the bass. Aaron Foster is playing guitar when he's not playing football. And Sarah Kate Morgan is over there on the dulcimer. And some of these folks have been with us here on Red Barn Radio before, but it's always great to see you all again.
Oh, it's so great to be back.
Wonderful to hear, you know, how the music is coming along and sort of where you're headed with your dream.
Absolutely. It's a whole lot of fun to come back here, you know, especially it's been a few years since the last time, and so it's fun to come and play new music for you. We've got some more new music coming up as well.
When you were first on Red Barn Radio, Michelle, mm-hmm. would you say that was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, even longer?
Probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I was with the Morehead State University Mountain Music Ambassadors the first time
yeah,
I performed here.
Yeah, right.
So I performed a couple times with them and a couple times with the Michelle Canning Band. And so this would be, I guess, my fourth time here at the Red Barn.
Huh. You seem really, you know, always very comfortable. You've always seemed that way.
Oh, thank you.
Has that always been the case, that you are actually really, really comfortable? Have you just learned to smile through your tension?
I think I love what I'm doing. I'm a lot more comfortable on stage than I am off. I don't know, it's just a performer thing in me, I guess, but I just enjoy being on stage and love being on stage. And it's easier for me to talk to you and to all of you and everybody online than it is to like be face to face with one person and just have a conversation.
Should I ask the guys not to do any real close-ups on you then? So you don't have that feeling?
Just don't put the camera right there and I'll be fine.
All I want to do is hold you for the rest of your life. All I want to do is sing to you, dry your tears when you cry. You're the best thing that's happened to me in my whole life. This, I'll love you till I die. Till I die, I'll hold you close. I'll be there for you wherever life goes. When your
you're up in the air and walking on clouds, I'll be standing proud. When life gets you down, things go wrong, I'll remind you that you are strong. And I'll be there when tears start to fall from those gorgeous eyes. This, I'll love you till I
What is unusual about you as a banjo player, and especially a banjo player who went through Morehead State, the traditional music program there,
sure,
is that you're a New Englander.
I am. I'm originally from North Andover, Massachusetts, which is just north of Boston.
Yeah.
Not a lot of banjo players up there. Those of us who are there, we like each other, and we hang out and play music all the time. So we've got our little clan of bluegrassers.
How did that happen? And how early in your life did it happen that you developed affection for bluegrass music?
I was actually 8 years old, and I was at my grandparents' house. I always loved country music. That's what my mom always had on in the car. And so I always loved it, and I was at my grandparents' house. They were babysitting me. We had, you know, construction paper out. I was coloring, doing what eight-year-olds do, and I drew a guitar, and I said to my grandfather, let's make a band. And he said, okay, well, I'll play the guitar, and you play the banjo. But I didn't know what a banjo was. You know, I was 8 years old in Massachusetts, you know? And so I just asked him, what's a banjo? And he said, well, hold on, I'll show you. And he pulled this banjo out from his closet that he had bought years ago and never learned to play. And he put it in my arms, and I just fell in love with it.
Was it a resonator banjo?
It was. Like it was a bluegrass banjo. Mm-hmm. Huh. Bigger than I was. The first maybe 3 years that I played the banjo, I had to have a capo on the fifth fret because I couldn't reach the top. So he introduced me to bluegrass music. He played me some records and started bringing me to concerts and whatnot. And the more I went, the more I wanted to play the banjo. And so I begged my parents for a banjo for Christmas. I begged Santa for a banjo for Christmas. I did not get a banjo for Christmas.
Oh.
I know. It's such a bad climax. Right. But then on New Year's, my grandfather was just as disappointed as I was that I didn't get a banjo for Christmas. So on New Year's, Pepe came through the door with his banjo, and he handed it to me, and I was all excited, and he said, no, it's yours. That was my first banjo that I learned to play on, and I've been playing ever since.
Huh.
morning dew. Don't mean nothing to the man who's up to wash it all away. Pressure in his hands, power with which to stand on a floating dock and not just float away. One more drop of rain. Once upon a wave, in his handsome days, the water on his lips tasted like salt. Heads up the marina to the shore. Lake days are a bust, but only to those who must use them to try and feel the sea once more. One more drop of rain.
This is Bowman.
Did you find yourself a really good instructor, good teacher up there?
I did. His name was Rich Stillman, and he's an incredible banjo player, an incredible person. It was actually a pretty cool story because I love this band called Southern Rail. And they were a band up in Massachusetts that they played all the New England circuit. And I would go see them all the time, and I got to know them. And they encouraged me to learn to play and whatnot. And so when I wanted to learn to play, my parents brought me to the local music store and said, "Do you have a banjo teacher?" And they said, "Well, no, we don't, but we used to." And they gave me the number of this guy who used to teach there. So my parents called. So they said, "You know, she loves this band called Southern Rail." And he paused. And he said, "I used to play in that band." Oh. So we called Sharon, who's the leader of Southern Rail, and said, "You know, tell us about this guy." And she said, "Oh, he's wonderful." So I started taking lessons with him. He ended up being an incredible teacher. I learned so much from him. And through me, he reconnected with Southern Rail. And when their banjo player moved on to other things, they had Rich come back and play with them. And so now today, Rich is the banjo player for Southern Rail again.
Oh, wow. That's a great story.
I can smell the turkey.
turkey roasting, table's almost set. Try to sneak some stuff in, Mommy, I'll save it for the guests. Counting every second till we hear the doorbell ring. Can't wait for a taste of the pies Aunt Shirley brings. Good to see you. It's been a little while. Good to see you. Your sweet smile and the way that you light up every room you walk into. Ooh, good to see you. But you're never far away. We hear you in our laughter, find your joy on every face. Good to see you. It's been a little while. Good to see you. I miss your sweet smile and the way that you light up every room you walk into. Ooh, good to see you. Catholic school in Andover, Massachusetts, where the banjo was not cool.
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, did the banjo win you friends or lose you friends or neither?
When I first started playing, I was only 8. People didn't really know what a banjo was, so they couldn't really call me a hick because they didn't know what it was. So I was kind of saved by that. In middle school, it wasn't the coolest thing in the world. But in high school, I was kind of expecting to get picked on, and instead I got embraced, and they loved it. I played banjo in the jazz band in high school. I had a lot of friends in high school, that some that I'm still friends with today, and people really loved it there.
Were you involved in music in school outside of your, you know, your personal interest in the banjo?
I did jazz band in high school, and I was in the drama club. Before I played the banjo, I was not involved in music in any other way.
Then you finished up high school.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, from the time you graduated, that it was a traditional music program where you wanted to go?
Yeah, so I looked at a number of schools that had traditional music programs.
What are some of the other ones? Yeah.
So I looked at East Tennessee State University.
Sure.
I looked at Bethel University, and then I looked at Morehead. So I looked at those three schools and absolutely fell in love with Morehead and knew that that's where I wanted to be.
So you came to visit?
Yeah, I came to visit. Raymond McLean was there.
Oh, he was?
And he was the first person I met. He just made me feel so welcome. And then I started meeting the students, and the students made me feel welcome.
Mm.
And I remember leaving after we had met with everybody. I was walking back to the car, and Thomas Albert, who was a student at the time, chased me down just to say goodbye. And I thought, this is where I need to be. I'm welcome here, and people want me. And as soon as I came in as a freshman, I was part of the group. I wasn't the new girl. I was part of the group, and that was really special.
First thing I remember was bluegrass in my ears. Grandpa led me to the stage. Years later, I'm still here. He and Grandma saw in me the man that I could be. Guided me to play and sing my angels without wings. God sent me two angels long before I came to be. And every step along the way, they've been there for me. Bought me my first Martin, now God works through these strings. Thank God for sending me my angels without wings. They're both walking sermons, don't tell, but they show. Their love for God and family shapes everything I know. Maybe someday I could be what they were to me. Someone else's blessing, an angel without wings. God sent me two angels long before I came to be. And every step along the way, they've been there for me. They bought me my first Martin, now God works through these strings. And I thank the Lord for sending me my angels without wings. Along the way, they've been there for me. They bought me my first Martin, now God works through these strings. And I thank the Lord for sending me my angels without wings.
That's very awesome.
Did you ever compete with the banjo?
The Lowell Banjo and Fiddle Contest up in Lowell, Massachusetts. I did that just about every year from the time I was maybe 10 until 18 or so. And I won that a number of times and then placed a number of other times. And then in 2009, I actually became the youngest person and only female to win the New England Banjo Championship. And that was in Ossipee Valley, New Hampshire.
What do you remember about that particular contest? Was there a lot of competition?
There was, and I was by far the youngest in the competition. The week before my 15th birthday, there was a lot of people much older than me, and I didn't expect to win or to even place. I was just going to go and play. They called out third place, and it wasn't me, and I thought, well, then I've definitely not placed. And then they called out second place, and it still wasn't me, and I wasn't surprised because I didn't place. And then the MC was somebody I knew, and he said, and first place, and then he looked me dead in the eye.
Oh, come on.
And my heart stopped. And he said, Michelle, and before he could get out Canning, the crowd went nuts. That's what I remember from that day, is being shocked beyond belief.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with the Michelle Canning Band. Recorded live from the Arts Place Performance Hall in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with more from the Michelle Canning Band after this break. We'll be right back. This is Red Barn Radio. Welcome back. Tonight, we're with the Michelle Canning Band, recorded live from the Arts Place Performance Hall in Lexington, Kentucky. This is Red Barn Radio.
Keep your partners on your left side. gents, keep your darlings all on your ride. And if you stumble, just keep on a smile.
Elizabeth, I don't know that we've ever met before. Is this your first time on Red Barn Radio?
Yeah. Not my first time in the building, though.
When were you here in this building?
Actually, I was with a duo called the Tea Lights. We played for the Old Time Festival.
Tell us about your path to Moorhead.
I was born there.
Oh, okay.
So it was a short path. People at MSU, they're always like, where are you from? And I'm like, here. And they're like, why did you live in a dorm? And I didn't have a car, so I didn't want to cross a creek in the winter. Wandered down past Main Street and found the Traditional Music Center.
All right.
Yeah, not a long path.
That was really more my question, yeah. I guess. What about the path to the traditional music program?
So I'm a townie. The building used to be our public library where I spent all my time because I don't have friends. And they shut the library down and moved it. And forever, I was like, Mom, what's that building? I was like a kid. Mom was like, I don't know. It says Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. And I was like, well, I don't like it because that was the library. They ruined it. There's a coffee shop in town that Grant Alden runs. And I was playing there at open mics. And he's like, you should introduce yourself to Raymond McLean. And I was like, who's that? And he was like, he's the director at the Traditional Music Center. I was like, I don't want to go down there because they ruined the library.
Yeah, right.
But eventually I went and auditioned and they let me in for some reason.
What did you audition on? What instrument?
Guitar?
Okay.
I think.
Is that your principal instrument?
Mandolin is my
major.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. All right. Are you actually majoring, doing your BA
in traditional music?
In traditional music, yeah. And with a focus on mandolin?
Mm-hmm. All it's right. Funny because my dad gave me this big lecture like dads do, and he's like, you need to pick a minor that's going to help you. And so I'm minoring in jazz music.
Oh.
The other music building on campus. So I just really don't want to make money when I'm older.
Yeah, right. At least you weren't minoring in like the pan flute or something.
That'd be silly. I'm not doing that.
You hear the talk all over town, and you know how quick word spreads around. Get up, makes you strong. Sparkle on.
growing up. Jesse Wells is Tyler Childers' fiddle player, and his wife was my elementary school music teacher. And then middle school, I had Nick Diedrichson for band, and then high school, Amanda Wells moved there. So, but I've noticed recently, the elementary school that I go to, I didn't see on their website that they have a music teacher. And so with everything that's going on in Kentucky, there's not a lot of music teachers at the elementary school level where I'm from. So
demand is over at Lafayette now, I think, in
Scapa.
Or at Scapa, right.
I think.
Yeah, right. That's Scapa Lafayette. She could probably help you find some work, I bet. So, Aaron, why do they call you Frosty?
I really don't have a cool story, and I need to make one up. What it was is my roommate now, his name is Josh Mead. I went to East Tennessee State University in Johnson City, similar program. Raymond was, we'd figured it out. My first semester was your last semester at ETSU.
Yeah, Kentucky stole him from there.
Yeah.
Right.
I scared him off. They didn't even know me, but I guess. One of the first people I met there was Josh Mead, and he's my roommate now, and we've played a lot of music together. And my last name was Foster, and it was like, I don't know, 3 a.m. on a Saturday, and he was like, he asked me if I wanted to go to Waffle House, but he said, Frosty, do you want to go to Waffle House? And I didn't respond to him, but he just started calling me Frosty because my last name was Foster, and I'm from New York, where it's supposed to be cold, I guess. And
oh, okay.
Another group of people there heard him say it, and it started there, and now it goes to the point where my professors at ETSU didn't call me my name. They called me Frosty, so... Well, that's kind of how it started, I guess.
There's a story there. I think you could develop that a little bit.
I know, I want to make it about wrestling a polar bear and winning, you know?
Yeah, right. You could do that, and everybody would believe it. You're from upstate New York, where?
I'm from Wellsbridge, New York. The opposite side of New England, I guess, would be, what, Buffalo or something like that?
Or but Binghamton.
I'm about 40 minutes north.
East
of Binghamton, yeah, yeah.
Right, on 88, right?
Exit 12 and 88, yeah.
That great 88 road where there are never any cars on it.
That road. It's great. There are never any cars on it, and that's why they don't do construction on it, and that's why you can ruin your suspension just driving to Oneonta.
Really?
It's pretty rough. It's a rough ride.
How is it that bluegrass music came into your life living in boondocks of New York?
It was my grandparents. My grandparents were fans of bluegrass music, and they, on a whim, I guess went to a bluegrass festival sometime in the 80s, and they met the Boys from Indiana, if you guys don't know who the Boys from Indiana are, they're great songwriters and entertainers in bluegrass music history, and before they knew it, they were so close with them that they were like running the Boys from Indiana suite at IBMA in Kentucky, IBMA being the big International Bluegrass Music Association convention. They have lots of cool stories about, you know, running that suite with, like, you know, all of my heroes in the same room at the same time. And they've got photographs, you know, and photo albums that I have to go through. And some of them are in focus, some of them aren't. But you can still tell that it's Jimmy Martin in the room or, whoever it may be. They started taking me to festivals when I was in diapers. I don't even remember my first bluegrass festival. Think back as hard as I can, and I think my first memory was the Peaceful Valley Bluegrass Festival in Schinhoppel, New York, eating an ice cream cone with my granddad watching Jim and Jesse play. And I remember being really shy at that festival. Jim McReynolds came up to me and was trying to get me to, you know, get on his shoulder or something, and I was so shy, but I was so starstruck. It was the first time I remember being real starstruck. And you know, really, as a kid, you know, they had the hair slicked back, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah,
and it was
right.
Like, and the suit and ties. Everything about them was godly in a way, you know. So yeah. As a little kid, I was a little shy, and I wish I could go back to that time and climb Jim, you know.
But, yeah.
And then they ran into the Gibson brothers. The Gibson brothers are from Plattsburgh area of New York,
yeah.
You know, upstate New York. They kind of took me under my wing when I started playing, because when I was 10 years old, I was going to these festivals, and after the show was over, there was nothing literally left for me to do, but I saw all these people picking at the, you know, their campers and stuff, and I was like, you know, I'd like to participate in that so I don't have to do nothing and you just go to bed or whatever. I asked for Christmas that year for a guitar, and Eric Gibson picked me out a Alferez RD8. My grandparents bought it at, I think it's Dick's Country Store and Music Oasis in Churubusco, New York. They picked it up for me, got it for Christmas, and fast forward, here I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's home, tired, sad, and lonely. She's been gone now nearly a year. He finds comfort looking at old photos, but
pictures can't replace her. His son stops by, he sees his grandkids. Oh, he loves them, but he don't know their names. He reads a card that says happy birthday, but he can't remember his age. And his family deals with the pain. His memory grows worse every day.
Sarah Kate, you've been on here before. We've talked many times, and so I hope I'll have something fresh to ask. You know, I don't know that many of us have ever seen the dulcimer played as a lead instrument. You know, when you started playing dulcimer and once you realized you were really good at it, did you set out to just be the best traditional dulcimer player ever, or did you ever imagine that you might sort of innovate with that instrument?
Well, I had a lot of folks that encouraged me to go beyond the traditional style, traditional, whatever that means. You know, and the dulcimer in and of itself is a very young instrument. It's not an instrument that has hundreds and hundreds of years of history that backs up how we're supposed to play this instrument. In many, many ways, the dulcimer is still evolving. And so people are building in lots of different styles. People are playing in lots of different styles. In terms of what I do is just part of the process of evolving this instrument.
Do you ever imagine that at some point, for instance, you might, have you ever plugged it in, ever done anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, tell me.
My dulcimer has the capability to be electric. I've got a pickup on it. And there's lots of folks that like are building solid body electric dulcimers, which is wild. It's not what necessarily what I want to invest my time in, but there's lots of folks that are doing that. And yeah, it's an exciting time.
Honestly, I think I would have assumed that the dulcimer was an ancient instrument.
It started as sort of the ingenuity of immigrants coming from Germany and Austria from several different instruments that are in the zither family. And when they immigrated to America, they didn't necessarily have the resources to replicate those really complex instruments. And so they sort of used what they had in their memories these instruments back home, and the dulcimer sort of evolved from those instruments.
Yeah, what other instruments do you play?
I play upright bass, and I'm learning guitar, yeah.
Any other instruments to which the sort of dulcimer technique transferred, you know, easily?
My strumming hand has really transitioned into playing guitar really well because, playing dulcimer requires a lot of strumming. It's a very strummy instrument. So
yeah,
I've developed
right.
a strong right hand, and that has sort of shifted onto mound dulcimer, or guitar, rather.
Have you ever hammered?
No, I have not played hammer dulcimer.
I'm surprised.
It's funny that you mentioned that because hammer dulcimer and mountain dulcimer are two different instruments.
Yes.
They have absolutely zero in common.
Well, they have the same name. They both are called dulcimers.
Yeah, yeah. The hammer dulcimer is an ancient Persian instrument that is the precursor to the piano. It's one of the oldest instruments in the world. And the mountain dulcimer is one of the newest instruments in the world. It's an Appalachian instrument. But I think people just looked in the Bible, and the dulcimer is mentioned in the Bible. So throughout history, there's been lots of different instruments that have been called dulcimer. There's a lyre kind of instrument that used to be called the dulcimer. And the dulcimer, the word itself means sweet sound in Greek. So lots of different instruments have been called it. Just right now in 2020, this just happens to be the dulcimer.
Yay. Well, that's pretty neat. I learned something new tonight. How recently did you become the very best in the world?
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, it was quite a while ago. It was back in 2010. I was the 2012. Sorry, the 2012 National Mountain Dulcimer Championship, and it was a really fun experience. It really made me practice and really hone my skills at that time.
Was that in the South, or was that out in Winfield, Kansas?
It was Winfield, Kansas, at the National Flat Picking Competitions, and
they have
banjo and fiddle and guitar and
everything,
all kinds
right.
of things, and dulcimers included.
That's a really, really good contest to win.
Don't you tell me that it hurt you that day, that you lost all the feelings you had. You're sorry that it all ended this way, that you never meant to make me feel bad. Then you picked me up off my feet and made me fly like a bird. You stole away. Tree tops.
would like to thank the Michelle Canning Band for being with us this evening. We also thank our volunteers for their help with our production each week. Very special thank goes out to Nick Lazaroff for his terrific production photography. And thank you all for listening to our webcast, watching us on YouTube Live, and those listening to us on the Red Barn Network of Stations. Thanks to WEKU, Red Barn Radio's official radio partner, Public Radio for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.fm. It's your chance to hear more great live Kentucky music from Red Barn Radio and WEKU. Last but far from least, we also thank the members of our studio audience for supporting the mission of Red Barn Radio, which strives to present, promote, preserve, and share the rich musical magic of this Kentucky region. Red Barn Radio comes to you from our home, the Arts Place Performance Hall in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. Our website has updates and further information on our guests and our program. We're on the web at redbarnradio.com. Tickets for Red Barn Radio are now available at eventbrite.com, Lexington. And now, once again, give it up for the Michelle Canning Band here on the Red Barn stage.
Chin. Grandpa says I look like him, and Mommy cries, 'cause I got her eyes. Oh, tell me, do you see the reflection of your love? With me everywhere, make new friends along the way, more pieces falling into place, shaping me, daring me to dream. I hope you realize every time you see that sparkle in my eye, the very best of me is a collection of the memories, each one a puzzle piece. It's who I am. Everything I'm gonna be, oh, how you shine in me. Looking at my life, it's plain to see the reflection of your love shining in me. The very best of me is a collection of the memories, each one a puzzle piece. It's who everything I'm gonna be, oh, how you shine in me. Oh, how you shine in me. Oh, how you shine in me.
Thank you all so much.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank Michelle, Elizabeth, Aaron, and Sarah, the Michelle Canning Band, for being with us tonight. Red Barn Radio's official radio partner is WEKU, Public Radio for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.fm. Thanks also to IP&J Cuban Foods, authentic Cuban food with a South Florida twist, featuring premier Cuban sandwiches, plantain nachos, traditional Cuban plates, and more. IP&J Cuban is on Facebook and Instagram. Listen locally. Working in concert with people to embrace opportunities, listen locally and engage in shared experiences, including music, theater, poetry, dialogue, and conversation. More on Facebook, Instagram, and listenlocally.net. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is the ideal choice for your next visit to Lexington, Kentucky. AccuPrint, providing printing, design, and fulfillment. Online at AccuPrint.us. Support for Red Barn Radio also comes from LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. And Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. More information on what Lexington has to offer is at visitlex.com. Red Barn Radio's executive producer is Ed Commons, who also directs our show. Associate producer and booking manager is Warren Cobb. The music for this episode was mixed by Adam Schettinger. The Red Barn Radio playout theme, Wookie Foot, was taken from a live performance of The Wooks here on Red Barn Radio. WookoutAmerica.com. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. Performance times and dates are at redbarnradio.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here on this station next week at the same time as we celebrate the music and artists of this Kentucky region. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.